Thanks for being a part of our new series, Nehemiah. We just came off of Immeasurably More, and I'm going to give you a little update about that here in just a little bit. But Nehemiah, just 2 weeks is all we're going to do. Could probably spend all year in Nehemiah, but we're going to just do a couple of weeks. And then after next weekend, we'll kick off our Christmas series, a four-week series we're doing here at our church. So a great month ahead of us as we get ready for Christmas at New Walk. In the meantime, yes, 2 weeks on Nehemiah. Let me tell you some things about Nehemiah. First of all, the account that we get in the scriptures, like all of the scriptures, you know, the Bible is not intended to be a historical document, but it is. It's backed up by history, and so we know that. And Nehemiah's, what we know about what Nehemiah is, what we see is recorded about his journey to go repair the city walls in Jerusalem, is recorded through history. You can go to Jerusalem today and see the walls that were built and put in place by Nehemiah. When we talk about the walls that were being built and what Nehemiah's task was and why it's so important for us to talk through this in our time together today, well, it's simply this. Nehemiah's story is that he has been in exile, like many of the Israelites, like many of his people. They've been exiled by the Babylonians, and he hears that his city back home, that's where his descendants are from, many people of family and relationships back home have been exiled, are in their part of the exile and Babylonian rule. Jerusalem is run down, its city walls, its city gates are broken down, burned up. And so if you know a little bit about history, you know that a city during that time would want to be fortified by very robust walls around the city. If that wall around that city was torn down, you know that the people would be exposed to deep brokenness. An overrunning of the city would take place. And so the fact that these walls are broken down around Jerusalem, it deeply disturbs Nehemiah. He says, we got to go back. We got to take care of our people. We got to fortify those walls and do a rebuild. And so we're calling this series The Build, or maybe for some of you it's a rebuild, because Nehemiah takes a look at a situation and says, this needs built or rebuilt. How does this play in your life? You're going to have a chance today to identify some brokenness, some rubble, trouble that's happening in your life. Some broken down situations, dilapidated situations that need rebuilt for you to have success in your own life. Nehemiah is, to me, a very personal book, because to me, I look at Nehemiah as a church planter's book. And I was a church planter and starting this church. And when I look at Nehemiah and it being a church planter's book, I say he had a burden for a city and he went and built something. And so I can relate to that. So many things that Nehemiah went through, I can relate to. Nehemiah is a leadership book. If you want to know about great leadership, study Nehemiah. And so some of you, you'll be able to take away some leadership principles in our time together as well. What we see, though, when we look at Nehemiah, it's not just a church planter's text. It's not just a leadership text. It works very personal in your life and in my life today in the year 2025. So I want to share with you kind of how that actually becomes a reality. Let me start by just saying, in general, for all of us here in this room, right, one of the reasons this becomes so relatable is because God comes on the scene and gives Nehemiah a very clear target, a very clear mission for him to accomplish. And God does that for you and I. When we come to know Jesus Christ, he starts to reveal to you clarity about where he wants you to go in your life and in your direction, in your life, and in your future. I talk to men sometimes in different settings, or even I've shared this from the stage, right? You're either in wonder in life or you are in wander. Wander is like, well, just what it is. I'm wandering around, purposeless, visionless. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what direction I'm supposed to go in life, right? So a lot of people in our world, they're wandering today. But God comes on the scene in your life and in my life, and he restores wonder. He wants you to have a wonderment of life. Like, what could be? Where could my life go? If my life was rebuilt and I stayed focused in life, like, where could I go in my life? God wants to give you a wonderment of life. If you've come to know Jesus Christ, right, you are able to access the wonderment of life, purpose, vision, where God is taking you. God says, yes, I want to reveal next for you in your life, and I want to make it so that you can actually get to that place. In other words, from A to B, wherever God is taking you, he wants you to hit the target. He wants you to hit a bullseye. He doesn't want you to miss the mark in anything. When we look at Nehemiah, he's got a feeling, a vision for what could be, a God-given feeling or vision for what could be for his city, and he's got to hit the target, and we're going to walk through how he's got to work through all of the chaos in order to actually see this thing become a reality. I'll give you a few points this week, and you'll get some more next week, but here's the first thing I put in your notes that we can learn from Nehemiah. Nehemiah is going to hear some things that are going on back in Jerusalem. And he's going to learn about some things that need to happen, but it starts by, I put this in your notes, great builds happen, or great rebuilds happen in your life and in mine when we start asking the right questions. Jerusalem's in disarray, it's in shambles, the gates again, they've been burned, it's not a good situation. Again, they're exposed to the enemy, messiness going on, and now Nehemiah, he's in exile, I mentioned that before, Babylonian exile, but he's also in a place where he's got a pretty interesting position. I think some of you know this about Nehemiah, but I'll just share this with you. Nehemiah is, in essence, a cupbearer or a wine taster. That's his position, all right? So he's working under the king as a cupbearer or wine taster. Some of you are hearing that right now. Wine taster, you're like, I'd like that job. You might think you do. But let me tell you what actually his job was. To prevent the poisoning and the killing of the king. He would taste stuff, food, drink, before it would go to the king, because that would be one way you could take out the king to assassinate him, was to poison his food or his drink. And so now it was the job of Nehemiah to taste it, so if somebody died, it would be Nehemiah first. Now, not such a sexy job, right? Like, okay, now this is not so good, but this is his job. Now, of course, in the role that Nehemiah has, he is able to be what I would say a confidant or, you know, somebody very close to the king. He's put in a position where, you know, the king trusts him deeply. You could imagine they would have, because of this positioning that Nehemiah is in, you know, deep conversations as they talk to one another about things in life. And so very unique positioning that Nehemiah is in, even though he's in exile, his people have been exiled, even though he's having to serve this king, he's in this unique position. And I think positioning is so important for you and I, because if you're in right positioning in your life, like you can see things begin to advance. I'll say this to you this morning, if you're here today, you came to church, you're in a good position because you're able to hear God's word for your life. Take it a step further, you're here today and you're a believer in Christ, you're in good position because now you can hear what God may have for you, and with Jesus Christ, you have the power to go to the place that God is trying to take you. And so I don't know what's broken down or dilapidated in your life. I don't know what needs to be rebuilt in your own personal life. But you're in right positioning this morning to hear what you need to hear to go where it is God may need to take you on this journey. Right positioning is important. Nehemiah is in this place called Susa. They're serving King Artaxerxes. And here comes the moment where he hears about what might be going on back in Jerusalem. Nehemiah 1 and 1, it says this, I was in the citadel of Susa, Nehemiah said, when my brothers came from Judah with some other men, and here it is, we talked about questions, he said, I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. I'm asking questions, and they said to me, those who survived the exile, they're back in the province, they're in great trouble, and they are in disgrace. Why? Because the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. Questions. What's happening? What's going on with my people? What's the current state of the situation? Oh, okay, you want to know? We'll tell you what's going on back home. He asks questions, and he gets answers. God works that way with you and I in our own individual life. You want to start asking God questions, he will give you the answers. It is a good thing for you to ask God questions. He's not withholding from you. How does God reveal to you and I so many of the answers for our life? Of course, we're digging into God's word. The Spirit of God is revealing things through his word. When we study his word, we see, and I've shared this over the years, what is the Bible? It's like a reflector. It's like a mirror. You start reading it. You got questions about life. God says, I'm going to reflect right back to you exactly what I need to reveal to you on your own personal level. And you ask questions of God. Again, he will bring forth the answers. If you're digging into his word, he will say, I'll show you. Want to know what's right for your family? You want to know what's better for your marriage? You want to know the resources you need to deal with whatever you're dealing with in life? I'll give it to you. Asking questions. I could say to you that one of the greatest leadership principles is that you would be a reader. You've heard that, right? Great leaders are readers. And so if you want to grow in your life, be a reader. Study, grow. And I would say that's true. You hear that said all the time, and I agree. It's good to read. It's good to learn books and resources and things like that. Leaders are oftentimes doing that. But there is a next level beyond just reading. Yes, reading is great, but it also gives you prepackaged what somebody wants you to hear. It prepackages the information that somebody thinks you ought to know. There's a next level beyond just reading, and it's asking questions of things. Digging in a little bit deeper. When you ask questions, you get organic responses. You get responses that may be even more applicable to your own current situation. For example, at our church, sometimes when we need to work through a ministry struggle, and what we might do is I'll say, hey, why don't y'all go to one of our ministry leaders? I'll say, why don't y'all go to another church, study what they're doing because they're doing it really, really well, and here's the thing you need to do when you get there, ask questions. And when you start talking to them and asking questions, you get this customized sort of information like that could be applicable to my own situation so that now we can go to the next level. And so don't ever miss the importance of those questions. What questions do you need to ask right now about your life? What target do you need to hit? What rebuild do you need to experience? If you need something restored in your life, fixed in your life, it's going to start with saying, okay, God, I've got some questions for you. How about asking some questions about your marriage or your family? Why don't you ask God how your life is going, how your relationships are going? Why don't you ask God how well you're doing with your money? God, how is my debt affecting my life right now in every imaginable way? And if you start talking to God, he's like, okay, I'm going to reveal to you these answers for your life. And so I put this in your notes. Here's the question, right? Ask this, all right, what needs rebuilt in my life? And you could start focusing on that now. For some of you, you could write several things. Maybe for some of you, there's not enough space there. But like, these things need rebuilt in my life. Again, God will not withhold the answers. Nehemiah 1:4, this is important. When Nehemiah hears about the dilapidated walls, the brokenness of the city, here's what it says. When I heard these things, I sat down. I sat down, and what does it say? I wept. I think sometimes when you get the answers to what's broken in life, you weep first. And it's probably right that you would. You grieve. Like, I might weep the situation that my family is in, or my marriage or my finances. I might have to take a moment to just grieve as God is revealing to me the broken state of the situation. He doesn't reveal it to you because he wants you to be staying in this broken state. But here's what I think some of us actually know, that sometimes when God reveals something that's broken in our lives and we start to grieve over it, if we're sticking close to God through that grieving journey, through our grief, he brings a new focus. He says, okay, you're grieving and you're hurting, but I'm going to show you the new target where you need to go. And so as we're grieving, there can be a revealing for the next steps that we need to take so that I can get, you know, from A to B on this journey that God is taking me. It goes on, Nehemiah says, for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Yeah, I might be grieving, but I'm not running from God. I'm grieving and I'm holding on to God. And I think that's a key part of this journey where you say, okay, I'm grieving, but God, I'm turning to you. I think there's a lot of people, maybe even here in this room here this morning, your situation is you're going through trials and you're grieving some things in your life, but you're not turning towards God. God says, no, come to me through your grief and through your trials and the things that you're thinking may be paining you about your life. Yes, you've messed up your family. Maybe you've messed up your life. Maybe some choices in your life have affected your health or what you're doing in school or your relationship and your walk with God. Okay, turn to God. And then it says this in Nehemiah 1:11. I turned to God and I prayed and I said, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants delight, the prayer of your servants who delight in honoring you with your servants, in honoring you, give your servants. This is important. God, we're honoring you in our prayers, but now here's the request of God. Give your servants success today. Nehemiah, he's grieving, he's turning to God, and then he says, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. And then he's, but I'm going to pray for success today. Did you know that you can turn to God and pray for success today? Have you done that? Have you prayed for success today? Have you done that regularly in your life? You can pray for success today. I don't know if you heard me, so I'll rewind it because maybe some of you are just getting this. You can pray for success today. In your life, in your relationships, it should be a regular prayer. And then it goes on and it says this, your servant, give your servant success today by granting him, what's that next word? Favor. You can turn to God for success and you can turn to God for favor. A great part of your prayer life. It's okay to say regularly, God, I want that success and favor in my life. Now, let me be clear. If you're going to God and you're saying, God, give me success and favor so I can buy a new yacht, this is not going to be a part of him lending an ear to you. Because what is the key to this? This is all about partnering with the kingdom. God, I'm partnering with you. The journey that I'm making, right, for Nehemiah is all about what God would want for the people of Jerusalem. So, of course, God's going to lend an ear to his prayer. God's going to be able to listen and provide success and favor. But if you're asking God for success and favor for your own, you know, personal gain, your own wants and fleshly desires, that's not what we're talking about here. But yes, God, as I'm seeking you for help and I'm turning my life towards you even more, God, I'm praying for success. I'm praying for favor. He needs favor. Why? Because he's got to go to the king and he's going to end up having to make a pretty huge request along the way. And so we're going to get to this request. But before I get to that request that he's going to have to make before the king, a very big request, I do want to remind you that along the way when you want to get from A to B, where God is taking you to a target, to build something in your life, to a place he's trying to reveal to you, I do think it is important to know that there will be trials along the way. And this is where a lot of people in faith really struggle, because they think, if I've cried out to God and I see my problem and I've admitted it and I need to turn and go in a new direction, God, I'm seeking you deeply now in my life, now everything will smooth out. And it doesn't always happen. There's a lot of reasons why it doesn't always happen and really doesn't happen. If you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, you examine some of the characters in the scriptures where we have a pretty long bit of information about their life recorded, you see, and I love this about the Bible here, because you know it says that Nehemiah wept, and we're getting sort of this authentic honesty about his life and the brokenness that he's feeling. You study characters in the scriptures, and time again, you see their highs and their lows. You see the good, the bad, the ugly, and God reveals that to you and I through the scriptures. But what you will also see as you study the text is that as God is taking them into something else that could be great, there will be struggles. Old Testament, New Testament, you see this. It's called sifting. It's a refinement process. And sometimes, if you see this in the scriptures, you'll know this is true. Sometimes God allows it. But what is he doing oftentimes in that process? If he's going to take you to a new place for something greater in your life, he's going to refine that character along the way so that when you get to the next place, there is something greater in your character that has developed. There are going to be trials, and there are going to be for Nehemiah, and I'm going to get to them along the way. But he's asking questions, and he's going to have to go to the king with a question. And here's the next thing in your notes. God will always give you provision for his vision. If God's in it, if this is a God thing and you're turning to him and you're on this journey with him, he will be the provider for you. Whatever it is that you need provision on, he will be the provider. Now, I mentioned Nehemiah is in a tough spot here, though he's got this position where he's connected to King Artaxerxes. Nehemiah has got to go to the king and ask him for significant favor in this moment, because here's what we know if you study this time in history. You know that if anybody would go before this king, Artaxerxes, with a request, and he didn't like it, it made him upset, It bothered him, ticked him off, made him cry, whatever it may be. It would not have been uncommon to then take the head off of the person that upset the king. You've heard the term, heads are going to roll. They're going to release somebody from the company who made a mistake. Their head's going to roll. This is different than that. Literally, heads rolling. Nehemiah is going to go to the king and say, hey, I got a request of you. And he's got to trust God and know that it's not going to set the king off in any kind of way. He's going to have to ask for years off, you know, away. He's going to have to ask for protection, and he's going to ask for resources. He's not going to go to the next level on this journey. Like, how is the king going to respond? Here's this moment in Nehemiah 2:8 where he's like, God, I need you on this request because the gracious hand of my God was upon me. The king did what? He granted my request. The king says, go. Do what you need to do. Take care of what needs to be done. And so he goes and makes his way, arrives in Jerusalem. I'm shortening this a bit, but he gets to Jerusalem, and I put some notes here, just some little leadership odds and ends here that caught my attention when Nehemiah gets to Jerusalem. He doesn't arrive trying to make himself out to be a big deal, talking smack to everybody about how big time he is. As this God-given leader in this moment, he's just quietly doing what needs to be done. You study Nehemiah's movements. He does a counterclockwise thing, which I don't have time to talk about here. He's at night, you know, not trying to draw attention, just at night. He's walking around, inspecting and studying, figuring out what needs to be done. He arrives as this leader that God has put in place in this significant way, yet humble to say, okay, I'm just here to do what needs to be done. It's not about me. It's about God. I put this in my notes. Of course, the reminder is, in a leadership moment where vision is out there, it's always going to start with the man or the woman, one. God downloads it to the level of the man. God downloads it to the level of the woman, and it starts there, right? And it works its way down then to other people. And I put that in my notes as well, is that once it starts from the man or the woman, if the vision is going to actually be activated, at some point it has to go from me to we. Other people got to get it. You're casting that vision. You're sharing that vision. Other people hear it and go, oh my goodness, I want to be a part of that as well. You got a vision for your family. At some point, as you're living out that vision that God has given you, others in your family start to see it, hear about it. They want it as well. It starts to spread, again, from me to we. Now, because of the order of the text, I'm going to read to you this, Nehemiah 2:10. We're going to start to see an introduction of some negative people for Nehemiah to deal with. When he gets on the scene, here's what it says in Nehemiah 2:10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite, so Sanballat, Tobiah, that's two, when these officials heard about what Nehemiah was trying to do, there's a third one, we'll get to him in a minute, his name is Geshem. Anyways, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. Again, more on this to come, but let me just say to you, if God has given you a vision, and this is where he needs to take you in your life, you ain't got time to get down and start visiting with a bunch of negative people who don't want anything to do with what God has given you. You don't have time to negotiate. You don't have time to deal with all that. God has put a vision on your heart. You're saying, okay, I know there's some makers that'll get it done. I know there's some planet shakers, and I know there's some fakers. And I don't got time for the fakers. Right, I don't got time for the people who are playing games. I got a job to do. We got a vision that needs to happen. And so if you're on board, if you're ready to go, great. If you're not, I get it as well. But Nehemiah has got to keep that focus, and you do as well. Come back to those negative people in a second. Nehemiah 2:17. Then I said to them, he's casting the vision here. You see that we are in trouble. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and the gates have been burned with fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Hey, let's get to work. Notice they didn't form a committee. They didn't do a study to examine and examine and examine and produce a report. The vision had come. We're spreading it to others. We're going to take the steps that we need to take. We're not going to let all this stuff get in the way. We know God is going to promise us a victory. Don't forget that. Anytime God has revealed a journey for you in your life to advance in your life and in your walk with God to get to a target from A to B, you're never really fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. And so you know that you already have the winner like in your pocket on this journey. And so it's maintaining the focus, staying on that common journey or that common goal that now others have as well, and not drifting with all the noise and all the naysayers going on around you. And then that's going to lead me to sharing with you about somebody in our church who or has been a part or connected to our church that has been deeply understanding of the importance of a vision, a target, going from me to we and seeing a vision spread in a very powerful way. I talked about asking questions. That's about getting the vision. I talked about the provision being very real, a God-given provision for a vision. There's a guy that we've partnered with here at our church, and we've worked with him for 14 years in the Dominican Republic. His name is Pastor Craig, and Pastor Craig, his work over there, we have been a significant part of it as a church for now many, many years. Again, 14 years. When he first got to the island of the Dominican Republic, he had a goal to start in one village, see people saved there, raise up and disciple people, eventually leaders that he could then send into other villages. And now that model that he's worked on has gone from now one village to now over almost 24 villages in the time that he's been there. That's the spreading of the gospel in a very organic way. When we decided to partner with Pastor Craig, he shared with me a vision of which had not existed before. That this wasn't happening on the island. He said it would happen. God would provide. He trusted God. God provided. And now here we are all these years later, we're able to see how God is working through Pastor Craig. I share with you Pastor Craig for this reason. He has been a part, he is a part of the goals that we have in supporting for Immeasurably More. If you've been on that journey with us for several weeks, right, we talked about all the things that, you know, over months, really the things that we're trying to accomplish, the goals through Immeasurably More. They were printed in the book. You were able to read some of those goals. Sometimes I shared them from the stage. I shared them in other settings that are on the website as well. Well, one of our goals to fund in Immeasurably More was another bit of work that Pastor Craig was attempting to undertake. And so when I went to the Dominican this past year, he shared with me, hey, Pastor Gary, like there's a new work that I want to be involved in a very powerful way. It's a little bit different than what we've been involved in. And here's what it is. Like you and I here in East Pasco, Craig all of a sudden has found himself in the middle of a huge build-out of a lot of opportunity, right? That's what we have here. At one time, we were kind of just out here on State Road 54 doing our thing. And now all of Tampa and the suburbs have come. It's all around us. Now we are uniquely positioned as a church in the middle of all of it. So I love that. Same thing is true for Craig. And one of the things he's found himself in the middle of is what I call baseball row. Where he's at, just a couple miles from where he lives, now every single Major League Baseball team has a complex in the Dominican Republic, building it up. Why are they doing that? Because the place on the planet Earth that is producing the most baseball talent right now than any other nation, it's the Dominican Republic. Baseball teams want kids from the Dominican. Now, a young man can sign a contract with a baseball team to go to one of their facilities there on the island at age 16. But by age 18, he either has to have a pro contract to go to America or he's got to go back home to his village. He's done. One of Craig's goals is to kind of minister to those baseball communities, those baseball kids, and also the existing residents in those areas. And he wants to do that by building a church right out of the box because they need it right now. There's not one there in this growing area. Our previous way of doing things in the Dominican was go to a village, have church under a tree. If more people come, we make a tent. Maybe if more people come, there's a building. Maybe not. But we got a lot of churches over there right now just meeting under trees and in tents. But in this case, he knows if he's going to reach these folks, he's got to get out of the box with a quality facility. And we want to help him do that, and immeasurably more is helping him do that. I wanted him to share a little bit with you. Here's a little video of him and I talking on our last trip to the Dominican. Check it out. Hey, Nuwaka, I'm standing in a really cool village area, growing area in the middle of the Dominican Republic called El Cruce de Boca Chica. And El Cruce de Boca Chica is really an upcoming area. I'm here with Pastor Craig, who, if you've been around Nuwaka, you know we have been partnering with him to do incredible things here on the island. Craig, I want you in a minute to tell them a little bit about this place and why it's kind of on your heart. But first, in all the years back, I can't remember if it's been 13, 14.
Yeah, somewhere around 13 or 14 years.
You had came with this vision to, you know, start in San Jose and then expand from there. Just give a quick update on like how far it's spread from just beyond San Jose.
Okay. We've been on the island for 15 years. We've been working in this region of the island for 13 or 14 years with the first church plant in San Jose. Since that time, that little church plant, as many of you have already heard me say, has multiplied into, you know, 20 plus different communities with church plants, Bible studies, and different ministry activities. But all of that ministry has occurred in small little rural communities, little villages. And we've never really branched out into a more urban context, which is what this community may not look like it from here, but this area is a growing urban center on the south side of our San Jose church, which is only about 15 minutes from where we are today, but it takes about half an hour to get there. I said 15 minutes, but about half an hour to get there for 2 miles from where we are right now.
All right, so a couple things about this. This is a new area on Craig's heart to minister to and get more involved in. Of course, at Nuwaka, anytime we come here, we get a chance to be a part of these things. But right now, we're kind of in a season where we can be even more of a significant partner for the dreams for this area. Think about it in terms of this, Nuwaka. We are centrally located. We weren't before, it seemed like, but now we are in a place where all kinds of explosions, homes, you know, condos everywhere, all around us. And we're just in this main center, this cross area of our community. And now this community is pretty similar. What all is going in here?
Yeah, so several years ago, I told my wife and my team, we have to get a church in El Cruce de Boca Chica. Why? Right behind me is a main road that connects Santo Domingo with some of the largest tourist locations in the Dominican. And the government is currently working on a third phase of road development, which is going to make this a four-lane road connecting the island. To the south of where we are, we have Boca Chica, which is where the Dominican airport is. And there's a couple of 100,000 people that live in that community. And what has started to happen is the Boca Chica and this main road, Carretera Maya, is beginning to merge. It's becoming one location. We've seen government housing was the first step where we saw multiple apartments being built by the government. But now we're seeing luxury condos be built because we have the New York Yankees, the Colorado Rockies, the Miami Marlins, the Texas Rangers, the New York Mets, the Philadelphia Phillies, and I could keep going and going. All of these Major League Baseball academies are in this community. And so some entrepreneur and investor decided, let's build luxury condos and subdivisions that are centered around these baseball complexes. And so you can find a small little tin shack where immigrants are living and then walk 5 minutes up the street and find a luxury condo that's going from anywhere between $150,000 to $200,000. And so our dream is to be ahead of the progress. Very similar to what Pastor Gary just said about Zephyr Hills and Nuwaka. We want to see the invisible. We want to see the potential and be ahead of the game. We want to establish ourselves in this community before the explosion of population and growth. We want to be a fixture for everyone that is already living here and anyone that might come into this community. We are a place that offers hope. We are a place of grace and mercy that transcends race, that transcends culture, and really pioneer something that we've never seen on this island, where we can be a community of believers, from the uneducated to the most educated, from the day laborer to the executive of a Major League Baseball academy. That's what we're seeking to accomplish and praying that God will bring to reality here in El Cruce de Boca Chica.
Man, pretty cool what Craig's doing there, what God ultimately is doing in the Dominican Republic. Now, A couple things about that. Again, we're talking about vision, God-given vision. We're talking about Nehemiah. You can kind of sense the vision coming out of Craig, right? And as he's sharing, he's like, okay, this thing needs to go from me. It needs to go from me, and then it needs to go to we. And so as he shares it, you're kind of feeling it a little bit there. You're getting a little bit of the vision. So it connects a little bit with what we're talking about today. And of course, the provision for the vision, we are one of the people that kind of helps make some of these things happen for that vision that's taking place there. Something, though, that Craig didn't share that is, I think, another key piece of this journey for him. He has a vision as they're connecting with the baseball players there to kind of see that, okay, let's say a kid signs and then maybe gets a contract to come to the States to play in the United States. Well, if he's come to know Jesus Christ, he can come to the States and affect the clubhouse that he is in and the people that he is now on a team with in the United States. He can affect them with the message of Jesus Christ, right? And so he can impact through one person on the island now coming back to the States. But let's say the kid doesn't get signed and gets sent back home to his village. If he's come to know Jesus Christ, he can go back to his village and share the good news of Jesus with his family and his village back home. So again, a very beautiful way of connecting people with the gospel of Jesus Christ through Pastor Craig's work. I share all that to say also this. Again, when you partner with New Walk financially, you're already a part of this. But when you give to Immeasurably More, you're going to help us with this new project. You know, last week when we had our commitment weekend, it was a pretty beautiful weekend for us here at the church. But I wanted to share with you, we're getting close to the number and the goal that we're trying to accomplish. But after last weekend, we know that at least 100 or more families that call this church their home have still not committed to Immeasurably More. And so I just want to share with you, if this is church is your home, maybe you missed last week. Or maybe for whatever reason you were still praying about it. We put the cards on your seat this week. We've already had dozens of these cards filled out from this weekend. But if you are a part of this church and you haven't decided to be a part of Immeasurably More, I want to give you another opportunity to do that. We said at the very beginning, this is not about like who's giving what number. It's about an individual personal sacrifice. We said as our main goal was just simply this, that everybody that calls this church their home would participate. So if you're one of those folks, you haven't participated, take that commitment card, fill it out, that's on your seat. On the way out, there's a little box you can drop it in at our Immeasurably More resource table. Drop it in the box there, your pledge. And of course, just like last week, we'll give you a shirt, an Immeasurably More shirt for making that pledge. Do that, if you will, this weekend before you head out, and be connected to, of course, the work in the Dominican and so many other things that we're trying to accomplish through Immeasurably More. Don't forget, in 2 weeks, we'll share at Celebration Weekend how we did completely. And we'll share with you the numbers and celebrate that. And that'll be our first weekend of giving towards this two-year journey. Here's the third thing I put in your notes. Hey, here's what we're doing. We're getting questions answered. We're getting a vision. We know there's going to be a provision for the vision. And then the third thing is this. When you step up, just remember the enemy will try to mess you up. Again, I touched on that. So now, because we're getting introduced to some of these characters who are negative, I want to dig into this a little bit deeper. First, it says this in Nehemiah 2:19. But when, here's this one, Sanballat. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard about, again, what they were doing. Let me stop right here. These are going to be negative people. Take out those weird names or whatever you think about their names, you know, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, and just take their names out and put the names of some people in your life. Go ahead, put the names of some people in your life in there. Maybe it's not Sanballat, but maybe it's Susie, Steve, or Sam. Maybe it's not Tobiah, but it's Terry, Tim, or Tom. Maybe it's not Geshem, but it's Greg or Gertrude. I'm talking about people that you may have to insert into this that are the real picture for your life, and they are the negative people that come along when you're trying to advance with God, and they don't want it for you. You're gonna have to deal with that on any God-given vision journey. It's why we say here all the time at our church, you better get right people, right place, right time around you, because if you don't, and you think, okay, I'm gonna go on this journey, you need to know there are some jealous and envious people out there, and they don't want what's best for you in your life. It's why it's important to be involved in groups. It's why it's important to go on the New Steps journey with us, 101, 201, 301, and 401. It's why it's important to get involved in our recovery ministries, which Immeasurably More is also supporting as well, because you make these connections so that you can have right people around you, so that when these negative people start speaking into your life, you say, no, we're not doing that. I'm not listening to those negative voices. Folks, since I started this church, I've had to deal with negative voices. I've heard them. I shared a couple of weeks ago when we started the church and I shared a vision. Somebody said, that's not happening at your church. You're not going to be able to reach those people. By the way, you don't need to start another church in East Pasco. We already have 80. We don't need another church. I heard all the negativity. I heard all the naysayers. But you know what we fought for? Again, for 19 years of this church, we fought for the vision to reach people in our community. And I am proud to say that we stand by the fact that for 19 years, we've reached hell-raising, sin-toting, marriage-broken, addiction-soaking, porn-watching people have come to this church. They've had their life radically transformed. But you got to stick to the vision when you're dealing with the naysayers. I'm a lover, not a fighter. You come be a vision vandal, you want to come upon me and be a vision hijacker to the vision of this church, I'll get a little tough. Because I know God's given us the vision, we're going to protect the vision. You got to do that on your own journey. I'm going to be tough with the vision, and I'm going to make sure I surround myself with the right people. At first, they seem like really loud barking dogs. But once you start dealing with them and you keep the right people around you, eventually the noise, because you're a freight train moving with God's help in your life, eventually the noise is like a little yapping poodle trying to stop a freight train. You ever seen like a little shih tzu? A little poodle starting to bark? It's little noise barking around you, but they're just little dogs. They ain't got no ability to stop. You're on a freight train with God. And the more and more you deal with that noise and that chaos going on around you, the more power God gives you and strength to continue on in the vision. Those guys are making noise to Nehemiah. It says this in verse 19. When Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, Geshem the Arab, they heard about it. They mocked and ridiculed us. They said, "What is this you are doing?" Then they asked, "Are you rebelling against the king?" There's the noise. Folks, you need people in your life who rejoice when you rejoice and they weep when you weep. Not that try to tear you down when you're happy and try to, make fun of you when you're dealing with trials. You need to get those right people around you. Nehemiah says, "You know what? I hear all the noise." And you follow the story, and we will again next week. He's going to stay focused on the project. And so I'll close out our time together here in prayer. And maybe God is revealing to you as you're asking questions some brokenness in your life. And maybe you just do a little business with God right now. Let's pray together. Father, I'm praying for, and there's a room this big, people watching online, and there's people here. Maybe it's very clear to them what's broken in their life. Something that's in rubble trouble. And God, this morning you're revealing it clearly. Maybe others are asking questions. It's coming that way. God, and maybe we weep about it. It's sad what's taken place, whatever it may be. God, as we turn to you with your hand upon our lives, we ask for success and favor. And we believe, God, that you will be the provider for the vision. God, I'm praying for the person here that, God, you're revealing a change that needs to take place, a rebuild that needs to happen, God, that they would make sure they've got right people around them. Because there's some that'll want it for them, and there's others that won't. There comes a time, Lord, when we turn around and see who's behind us, and some have bailed. And some have got daggers out. We want the ones who are cheering us on. And God, I pray for the strength and the courage of many changes that need to take place in this room with the power of God. It can happen. There's others here in this room. You know there's a dilapidated state in your life. God wants you to get out of this mess. The problem for you is you don't have the power of God in your life. God says, I don't want you to go another day on this journey away from Him and away from His power and strength for your life. Right now, in this place, God wants to welcome you home for a life with Him. There's one caveat to it. You can't go on a walk with God, you can't be in His family if you've got unforgiven sin. And since you can't forgive yourself, only God can. He made a way in which your sin could be forgiven. Right now, in this room, in this place, you can receive the forgiveness of sin that came to you and I, comes only through the gift of His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross and was a sacrifice for the sins of humanity. For all who trust in His name, the gift of Jesus, they are saved from their sin. They have life, new life, eternal life, the power of God. Would you turn to Him this morning? It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.